Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello there, and welcome to Simcast. I nearly went on to something else then, but we're not quite ready for that. But we're all very excited, hence the hello there, because yesterday was the finale of our favourite new show!
The Muppets.
Space! Yes, our favourite pew-pew.
Obi-Wan.
I'm just continuing on their theme. What are you
doing? This should break out to the Ewoks theme tune. That is...
Yup, nup. Yup, nup.
I actually... Right, did either of you... Right, obviously both of you have the Disney Channel. Other streaming sources are available, but none of them have the Ewoks. Have either of you actually bothered to watch the classic series of Ewoks?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah. So... I watched that on VHS when I was a kid. I remember some of the episodes, and they are as quirky as I remember. B, the intro music is significantly worse than I remember. I was watching, I was like, I enjoyed this at some point in my life. What was wrong with me? What was my parents putting in my body that was changing my brain?
Well, Sonny D did a lot of harmful stuff, so.
Sonny D, all right. Yeah,
probably Sonny D.
Or for those who are tuning in now, I want to remind you that this is the Simcast, where we do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
It might have been whatever they put in the wagon wheels to make them so addictive.
I never ate wagon wheels, so.
You never had a wagon wheel?
No, I obviously have had them, otherwise how would I know I don't like them?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people don't try things and then say they don't like them.
Oh, that could open a can of worms, mate.
Let's move on.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Simcast, where we do not experiment with strange animation. I'm Matt Hunter.
Good lord.
As usual, Ben Kenobi's here.
Hello there.
That's two. And
you introduced me as Ben Kenobi. What was I supposed to say?
Yes, I know. Qui-Gon Groves is also here.
I'll take that. I have a very particular set of skills. That was
yes! I knew you were going to get that.
It is Qui-Gon Groves. He doesn't show up until the end of the show, so what's the point of that?
No one who watches this is going to be watching Obi-Wan, let's face it. that final bit where they go, right, come on, we've got lots of work to do. I really wanted him to turn around and go, because I've got a very specific set of skills that I have to teach you.
I was kind of hoping it would be like a 80s style workout montage that would end as the credits rolled.
Something like Rocky.
Like Obi-Wan's just doing laps of the Juggalo waist and Qui-Gon's holding a stopwatch.
he's doing weight lifts with two with a Yoda on one side and a Grogu on the other.
Jawa's
extremely unbalanced.
Yes, it would be.
He's running a treadmill on a sandcrawler tire. Like, it'd be so great. Anyway, welcome to the Simcast.
Well, we do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
This is the other show. This is not the Simcast's geekier cousin. We promise. Yet. Oh dear. God, Bennett. Watkins Glen is the thing. Congratulations, Jordan.
Thank you. Yes.
On your pod race victory.
Now this is pod racing. We didn't try spinning. It wasn't a good trick. Poodoo. Yeah. No, it was good. That was probably, for those of you who don't know, 6 hours of Watkins Glen was last weekend, and somehow we won. It's amazing what practice does.
It does.
Some say it does make perfect.
Like, we found a fuel number that could work in practice. We worked, like, from the green flag, hit that fuel number every time. We did one less pit stop than everyone else, and we won. It was amazing. Like, Those are the moments that make sim racing so worth it.
This is what happens when I give Jordan the taste of victory. Every time we're prepping for a race now, it's going to be, now what about the fuel?
We cut Sebring too close. I was not going to make that mistake again.
Never again.
No. Yeah.
Hopefully I'll have a better finish during the next one, because my car, the 90, yeah, I was the 99, you were the 66. 99 had a lot of issues in our middle stint, so we spent about 12 minutes in the pits, all told. So, finished about P17, unfortunately.
I also have a Mercedes now, and it's a lovely, lovely car. It definitely needs a setup.
Yes, setups make a world of difference.
Yeah, they were with it.
But it's a lot less boaty than I was expecting, I have to say. I am very much enjoying it. And I've been enjoying storming from like 18th on the grid to like 5th or 6th.
So if you qualified well, you'd be great.
Yeah, I can't qualify well. I can get the tires switched on to like the 3rd or 4th lap ever. So yeah. And I never take enough fuel out to make a difference. So yeah.
This is why you run crew chief.
He never tells me, so.
Well, you can set up crew chief. You know, consumer advice alert, everyone. You can set up crew chief to automatically fill your car a certain amount whenever you have it.
Well, you can do that, but he was on about not taking fuel out for qualifying.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's what we run for endurance races, is if you're ever needing to do a pit stop that isn't just whacking it full of fuel and sending it, like, it will calculate how much fuel you need for the rest of the race. It's very handy for people like me who suck at math.
I'm literally driving around trying to do math, and that is why I fall off the track. I cannot do maths, steer, swear at someone who's just sideswiped me, and steer in the opposite direction all at the same time.
The non-crew chief way of doing it would be running enough laps in practice to know what fuel you'll need. But
yeah,
yes,
crew chief just makes it so much easier.
Yes, and I do run crew chief, and it's very, very good.
Particularly whenever you're doing the weekly series.
Mm.
Like the end, it doesn't let you fill your car the whole way, or else you'd be able to just do the whole race without pitting. So, but if you fill it at the beginning, whenever you pit, it gives you just enough to finish.
Mm.
Which was, and I pulled it off successfully this week and went from like 11th to 2nd.
I need to actually like not just turn crew chief on and race for it. I need to actually look at it, don't I?
Yeah, he is very arguable.
Yes.
Yeah. He also the standard one sounds a lot like Graham Goodwin, I'm just saying. I know it's not.
He's got a side gig.
Have you ever seen him in the same place?
No.
There we go. Which is funny because it kind of works. Anyway. I know you guys must have talked about it last week, but I would just like to say, how good does Forza look?
It looks very good.
It looks very pretty. How does it drive?
Yeah, that's
pretty much the synopsis of our entire conversation last week. Yeah. It's nice,
very pretty. Where's the substance? Yeah. Like,
when can we drive it?
Have you noticed they've named that new circuit that was in it, the very F1-y one that I thought looked
Harrow-Kane or something? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I called it Hadouken in my head, but obviously that's not what it is at all.
Brilliant.
No.
Yeah. I thought it looked, again, I haven't paid much attention. I thought it looked a little bit like, oh, Miami. And then I went, oh, no, maybe not. And then I saw the thing today that they put out. Oh, do you like our new Hadouken circuit? And I was like,
yeah, they named it last week in the
they did.
Documents that went alongside it. But
we
were just calling it Discount Fuji.
Yeah, this is because we assume it's going to be Discount Fuji.
I will be, right. Yes, it's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's some good cars in there again.
Yep. DPIs. Very excited about the DPIs.
Still not the newest. They've now got the same Audi R8 in there that iRacing has, so that's progress.
Mm-hmm.
I will be monumentally unhappy with them if we don't get more real circuits. If they focus on a lot of fictional ones, because that is crap.
I will say, not to defend Turn 10, but it has to be difficult for developers to get access to certain licenses now that we have all of these like exclusive partnerships going on with the ACO being completely tied into Motorsport Games, ACC being the SRO official game, everyone and their parents trying to fight over iRacing. Throwing that out there.
I think the big one's Lamar,
a bit of reality to kind of balance out your pessimism, Matthew.
The difference is, and this is something that I think we have talked about for a long time when it comes to particularly with Forza.
Yeah.
How it was quite apparent that MSV in particular was very happy to throw its license at pretty much any game that asked to get the scans and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And yet Forza didn't really sort of do that at all. Even though there was rumours about Donington for years ago.
We're still almost a year out from release. So yeah.
Mind you, can't say anything because Gran Turismo 7 still doesn't have Silverstone. So
this is true.
Which I still find absolutely unfathomable. I can't do that word today. I'm just too hot. I can't believe it. Stupid.
There you go.
Licensing is a thing.
It is. Like I said, though, the one I fear for the most for is Le Mans. I don't think we'll see that on Forza.
No, we won't. Until whatever this partnership between ACO and Motorsport Games ends, or whenever Motorsport Game folds, which apparently it's looking like more and more every day, like it's going to happen, particularly as their stock prices fall, but this isn't a financial advice podcast or anything like that. We're probably not going to see Wama again until that partnership ends.
Mm. Yeah. Good thing. It's really bad, isn't it? Because obviously we've spent so long, our little group being console gamers and being pretty much stuck with what we're given. But now we're obviously PC games. It's very hard to sort of look at it and go, it's really terrible, we hate it, and then go on to AC that has like every single circuit that's ever been or is likely to be, for example.
Albeit unofficially.
Yeah, but then you've got ACC and all everything that's coming out with that.
Oh, yes. Very excited about that as well.
Yes. Very excited. Well, another ACC news, which we'll talk about, of course, in due course. But we do need to talk about, I mean, Gran Turismo is going to take up a big portion of this, but first, you know my favourite Formula One game?
F1 2021, yeah?
F1 2016?
F1 2009 on the Nintendo Wii specifically.
You know, it really bugs me that that's the one year I've never of a Formula One game that I never got to play.
What, the 2000? It's something.
properly, on a proper console, 2009 season, which was probably my favourite season of Formula One, because Jenson Button, obviously. but it's never been, as a season, with all those cars, on a proper console or PC, has it?
No.
That's certainly really... unofficially it has, because people have done lots of mods for it, and very, very good mods, too. Some pretty quite... Oh, wait. Some very good ones too.
Matt, I know what your favorite F1 game is.
Go on.
F1 Race Stars.
I was going to say that, yes!
I'm not going there, but did I even actually play that?
I probably didn't.
£2 on Steam, you should try it. 100%. But no, you're referring to the GOAT. Grand Prix 4. Yeah, I just wanted to briefly mention this, that it's, as it's 20 years old.
I was 11 when this game came out.
I'm not going to say.
I was taking forever to download mods and burn them onto a CD so I could put them onto my laptop at home when this came out.
Yeah, no,
old.
It would be remiss of us. We've mentioned several times about the legacy of Grand Prix 4, and given that it's 20 years old this week, had to mention it. And there is a superb article. The thing that reminded me of this was there's a superb article by Traction, not to promote another news source, but they're good. And they chart through the game's history, basically. It's very well worth a read. And one of the things that they talk about, one of the issues of the game, is how difficult it is to get to work with modern wheels. And that is the bane of my existence right now, because the amount of hours I have tried to get this game to work with my wheel is ridiculous.
Have you tried to get Thomas to work with it?
Thomas works fine. So my bloody wheel won't work for it, but I can get Thomas the Tank Engine to.
I was going to say, I've seen you do that, so I know that that worked.
Yeah, the clips are still on Twitter. Actually, I haven't thought about using the Guitar Hero controller.
That was a joke.
Well, that's what I'm going to do later. But anyway, yes. Yeah, so happy birthday, Grand Prix 4.
Happy birthday, Grand Prix 4. I really want Jeff Cramer to bring out a new game, because I think that would be a...
I really want Jeff Cramer to come on this show. He is the bucket list interview for me is to get Jeff on the show.
It actually is. If anybody who listens to our wonderful show, that was big headed. If anyone listens to our show that happens to know how we could get in touch with Jeff Crammond, please do drop us a note at Simcast Radio on Twitter using the hashtag SimcastRSL, or over on the Radio Show Listeners Collective on Facebook. Get
the
in
book
touch.
Of face.
He is a hard face. Man to capture.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right, okay, we briefly mentioned Assetto Corsa. Really interesting news recently. The observation from quite a few people that Gran Turismo didn't seem to have a lot of FIA imagery involved in it recently.
Yeah. I think the general assumption was that was a partnership for GT Sport. Which made sense since the FIA used it as part of their Motorsport Games competition last year.
Yeah. However, we are now very, very... I'm very excited to see that that the FIA has moved the FIA Motorsports... FIA Motorsport Games. The esports competition will be staged on Assetto Corsa Competizione for the 2022 event. That's phenomenal.
That's very cool. Like for a developer still as comparatively small as Kunos to have scored that kind of partnership, that's huge for them, and it's well deserved, because we all know how good Assetto Corsa and Assetto Corsa Competizione is.
It's so good.
It does. I'm not too familiar with what they used on Gran Turismo. Did they use many different car disciplines when it was on Gran Turismo? Or was it just like one or two cars?
I would assume, because the entire point of the FIA Motorsport Games is to be as many different disciplines as possible, that they probably just selected like the GR3 cars. I honestly don't remember what was used.
Yeah, because that was my one thing. The one downside for me of this was going to be that you've no longer got that variety, as it's just GT3 and GT4, and they've already confirmed that they're going to be using GT3s only. But I think you're right, and that they only use the GR3s anyway. So,
and you have basically every single GT3 car that's currently competing on on ACC now. So
yeah, so there's still the variety there, and in every other metric, this is a superb thing to happen, because Gran Turismo isn't quite as realistic as Assetto Corsa Competizione. Not that that's a problem. It's just but you know, the physics of ACC are phenomenal. The tire model is phenomenal. The graphics, not important, but they're phenomenal.
Yes.
It's a really cool, because you know the Motorsport Games includes everything from real like 100 and something different disciplines or whatever. and sim racing is lucky enough to be included as a part of that, which helps to validate the whole medium. So to have sim racing represented by one of, if not its most accurate titles, it's a no-brainer, and it's really, really cool.
I say, Benji?
Yes?
You know how Torah is a...
officially recognized as an organizing club under Motorsport UK?
Yes, correct.
Yes.
And you know he's how and you... in the mirror, hasn't he?
Guess who taught it him?
I was gonna say I had to. Matt told me I had to.
you know it's like over here, Boris got all the cool big calls right. he didn't. You know how you run that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The bottom line of the press release, if you wish to take part, you need to speak to your local FIA National Sporting Authority, which may be running its own qualification competition. Wouldn't it make sense for the first officially recognised sim racing motorsport group here in the UK to be involved in that?
It would, yes. But... Yes.
But...
However, we are... Firstly...
You reckon you're, if you speak to them, go, your accent, where's your accent from, sir?
Well, there's that. I haven't touched that yet. Even though Tora is the first officially recognized club, we're an officially recognized club that's known for console-based stuff. And I'm assuming this is going to take place on the ACC PC version.
I know that, but what do you... Dear listener, I'm clearly going to have to spell it out to him. I'm pretty certain Tora has enough pro members who would race on the PC version that could do that. Just put it out there.
Yeah. The problem is, though, that Tora doesn't have a huge PC presence on ACC.
Doesn't matter. Yet. Just put it out there. Doesn't matter.
I did say yet.
I know. Just use the name. Just saying. Anyway, so that's really good news. Somebody is burning some food really terribly, and it's very off-putting. It's not in the house, obviously. That never happens. It's coming from outside. It's probably the Indian, which is very unlike them. It's not very nice. Anyway.
Matt, come back to reality.
I can't. Someone's destroying good food, and it's...
Matt, chill.
That's upset.
But yes, so the Motorsport Games will be happening later this year. Medals start being handed out in October, I believe. So there you go. Something to look forward to. And apparently it's going to be happening at Paul Ricard.
Of course it is.
Oh, yeah, because that's where they're hosting the whole Motorsport Games now. Yeah, is
that
Paul Ricard? Yes, of course it will.
I know. There's loads of places really close to big cities with great infrastructure and everything. So we can get everybody there. We can get everyone there. They can have an amazing time. Loads of fans. Make a big spectacle. Fantastic. Or we can host it on our private racetrack island in the middle of southern France that nobody can get to.
You could just put it at Le Mans, like use the Bugatti circuit or something. And
which is in what game?
Okay. Well, which one from Assetto Corsa do you want to pick then? Cool. Anyway, let's move on to
Nürburgring, where they hosted the Sim Racing Expo until this year.
Cool. Okay. Let's move on to the
not Silverstone. The infrastructure is not there.
Coda.
We need to talk about other things. We were talking about Watkins Glen, weren't we, earlier on? About how I had an awesome time on iRacing, racing at Watkins Glen. Would you like to have an awesome time racing Watkins Glen on Gran Turismo 7?
I would not mind that, no.
She can now.
Hey!
The new update, I need to update this because I haven't, done any of these updates. I really actually need to turn the PlayStation on. Update 1.17. What day is it today? Coming out tomorrow. Today, if you're listening to this today. Watkins Glen is coming to Gran Turismo 7 alongside three cars which did Are any of these new to the game? Obviously, one of them really isn't.
I don't remember one of them being in a Gran Turismo title before.
Is that the Ford?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. So the three new cars are the 1932 Ford Roadster, which...
Pretty much, if you think hot rod muscle car from, like, pre-war, and pretty much any of the 50s, like, hot rod movies, this is that car.
I really like that. I'm not a massive fan of really old cars, but do you know what? I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sort of car that flames down the side were made for.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You also
get the heart-stopping power of a 3.6-liter flathead V8.
It's a whopping... V8 in that?
Yes.
Oh, 65 HP, though, which in America is quite a lot, I think, isn't it?
America in the 30s.
I don't know, America in the 60s. I just like the fact. I still love the fact. Slightly aside, bear in mind we're talking engines. I do still love the fact that Americans are so impressed with being able to get like 200 brake horsepower out of a 3.6 or a 5-liter V8, and yet in Japan they can get 200 brake out of a 1.3-liter tiny turbocharged naturally aspirated thing. Just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like me some Type R. Speaking of Japanese cars, they've also added the Suzuki Vision Gran Turismo GR3, which I think looks really quite awesome, actually. I have to say. I'm quite smitten with that.
I have one issue with this.
Go on.
GR3 is their essentially discount version of GT3 cars.
Yes.
No GT3 regulation would allow for a roadster. Nor would any GT4 regulations allow for a roadster. And yet, here we are.
Well, Kate's...
The KTM's got to have a roof.
The KTM used to not have a roof, but you're right, it does now.
Yeah.
God, you make a good
point. I know that's extremely pedantic.
It is a little.
But...
And it is a vision, so it's not meant to be.
Yeah, I know,
but it's the same reason why when they showed off the Bugatti Bolide, which I still think should be their hypercar. You know, there were no regulations for that. Then they made hypercar regulations, and that car would be perfect in that. What's to say down the line you won't be able to have some kind of GT3 Roadster again? Who knows? Pretty car though, isn't it? It's nice. Looks good.
It reminds me of a Jag F-Type.
I was about to say.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. The old one, not the new one. The new one.
Particularly the Project 7 version of it, since that was also a roadster.
Yes, the Project 7 is a very beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have driven a lot in Assetto Corsa. and finally, fans of old school Gran Turismo can now fully enjoy. The Suzuki V6 Escudo Pikes Peak Special 1998, just not on Pikes Peak because that's not in the game.
Gran Turismo's licensing, it's all over Pikes Peak right now. So
they do have the license for something.
They have the exclusive license for it. So it might not come in this update, but I wouldn't be surprised if Pikes Peak. Gets added to Gran Turismo 7 before the end of the year. I'll put it this way. Pike's Peak will probably be in Gran Turismo 7 before we get more information about the Thrustmaster direct drive wheel.
That's not a high bar.
Yeah, I know.
or an update on the handling of the next Forza game.
but we do know about all of its rivers.
We do.
Yes.
The water is spectacular. pointless, isn't it? I really do need to get back into Gran Turismo because it's so bloody pretty. I can't get it. I every time I
yeah,
see
particularly pictures. Matthew, so, because you're the only one of the four of us that actually has a PS5.
True, it's not hooked up. Yeah,
the rest of us up. Are playing this game on a PS4.
It's not hooked up to... Well, yeah, but it's not hooked up to a 4K monitor. It's hooked up to my ultra-wide. But that brings me a whole host of other problems. So...
yeah.
So there's that. I have got a 4K monitor. It's on the other side of the room, but I'm not doing that. For many reasons. Anyway. yeah, so that's quite cool. I'm sort of wondering... when was the last lot of these out? It's just been a month, hasn't it, give or take?
When we had since when, I'm sorry?
When the last Cars came out. It was about a month ago.
Yeah, it was when the Hypercar came out, so yeah, that was just to the end of May.
Okay, so
I was going to say, I remember talking about it fairly recently.
Okay, so we're kind of getting roughly monthly releases. That's all right, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see... It's going to be interesting to see how many versions of Watkins Glen they're using.
They have, well, I would imagine they'll have all of the important ones, considering for Daytona they have the bloody NASCAR version, which is the one with the awful chicane at the pit entrance.
But do they have the oval?
No, they don't, apparently.
So
yeah, but what could they race on the oval?
Oh, this is true.
Like, at least they have versions for, albeit NASCAR, you know, only NASCAR races there and they don't have NASCAR. But, you know, they have all the road versions of Daytona that are usually used. So I imagine we'll have all of the various versions of
Watkins. A minute here. Both the short circuit and long circuit will be included, the latter including the boot section, and it looks like the inner loop chicane on the back straight is mandatory for both layouts. So it's not going to be classic Watkins Glen. But
yeah, you can't have the full straight.
You will have the NASCAR version as well.
That's fair. I always prefer the version with the bus stop anyway. I don't know why.
Yeah, I do.
As chicanes go, the bus stop's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It is, because you don't really stop.
No, you can absolutely send it through that.
Well, yeah, in the case of us for 6 hours, it was close to the wall can you get without dying.
Bravery Simulator.
and pretty much mandatorily taking the mick on the exit as well. it's a good, as bus stops go, that is a very good one.
You can't do that on Forza, it tells you off.
Mm.
Or you hit the tire walls. So
well, yeah, like tire walls. Sticking with Gran Turismo.
do we really have to talk about this, Matt?
Well, we managed to avoid not talking about it last week, so we kind of had to mention it this week.
We did. I cleverly made sure that we had enough so we didn't have to talk about it last week.
I don't. You know how, right? Okay, let's start.
Listeners what we're talking about.
This is going to be a Gran Turismo movie. Now,
why? Sorry,
why? You know how? Well, yeah. You know how? Generally speaking, gaming movies don't do so well.
Mm. You mean
anyone else?
Every gaming movie that's come out.
Anyone else remember the original Super Mario Brothers movie?
I've heard that from my memory, and I didn't even watch it.
But it's okay. At least we're getting a new one with Chris Pratt. Anyway,
at least that's going to be.
That's another thing.
At least hopefully that'll be proper. But and I think the only, and interestingly, I think the only very successful gaming movie crossover that's happened in recent times has been Sonic the Hedgehog. That actually has genuinely been a big success.
Yes, but that's after the internet exploded whenever they showed up the first version of Sonic.
Oh, yeah, because of Ugly Sonic, yes.
Ugly Sonic.
Teeth Sonic.
Ugly Sonic, who turned up in...
the one that was on Disney...
Chippendale Rescue Rangers movie.
Chippendale, that was it, yes.
That was hilarious. Very well done. Very well done.
I haven't watched the movie yet, but the only reason I would watch the movie is because of the two actors who voice Chip and Dale.
Yes.
Because I'm a fan of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
And John Belini in general.
Yes. And it's a very good film, and I highly recommend it. Especially if you're fans of the 80s cartoon. I don't... Because I also remember that there was a Need for Speed film that had Aaron Paul in it.
Okay.
Which was Utterly rubbish.
I actually watched that one. It had a thing to do with Need for Speed.
I made the big mistake of actually buying it, and I.
You actually bought it?
No, why?
At least I had the decency to watch it via means of questionable legality.
Ben, I must point out that is not the Christian thing to do.
There's our review for the DVD cover. At least I watched it with means of questionable legality. Ben Williams, amazing. Now, see, I don't hate, because obviously we know a couple of months ago they announced the sim racing movie, and I'm still waiting for that to come out because I have a great plan for reviewing that.
Is it going to be like one of those honest trailer videos from YouTube?
I
have already roped in my media student friend to come and watch it and be on the show to critique it properly. Anyway, okay.
Bring your popcorn.
She's harsh. Anyway, awesome. But this, I don't hate this idea as much as that, because this film appears to be being based on the story of the likes of Jan Mardenborough and Lucas Ordonez. People who have gone from gaming Gran Turismo into Nissan GT Academy into real racing. So it appears to be based on a true story, and a story that genuinely, for those of us who aren't now used to that idea, because it's happening a lot more where people start in racing, start in sim racing, get to real racing. For people on the outside, that could be quite a good story to see, and the fact that it's based in reality, it's not going to be too far fetched. So
it could, but I bet you anything there'll be some reviewers that go, like, that would ever happen.
But then we know already in all aspects of life that people who are paid to review stuff don't have fun. So or knowledge about the thing that they're reviewing.
Who's the one who does it with Simon Mayo? Because they're pretty much the only one I find their film reviews utterly hilarious.
Mark Kermode.
Because I always think of a toilet when I think of
it. I love him. He's great. He's such a good. He's the exception to the rule. Love him.
Yeah. Generally speaking, if you're a film critic, you don't really enjoy life very much, and your opinions or views of movies are always moot, because I'd say about 9 times out of 10, you're utterly wrong. No, only because basically they tend to be frustrated art students who weren't able to actually make it in film. make it in film school, so basically just hate on everything.
If there are any film reviewers watching or listening to the show right now, the views of the Simcast are entirely what Matt just said.
Can I ask what I think is a fairly obvious question?
Go on. Is it a film? Yes. Is it on Gran Turismo? Yes. Next.
So, since it's going to be based off of GT Academy, and obviously the winners of GT Academy went on to race in real world a couple different places. Why not just tell their story instead of making a fictionalized version of it?
Because that would be a docufilm, and those aren't as sexy.
Yeah, it'll be sort of the thing where it's inspired by, not actually about.
Because you know how we all love Truth in 24.
I'm sorry, what? For the American in the room.
Ben, get out. Ben, get
out. I don't know what you're on about either, to be honest.
Truth in 24. It always rains at Le Mans. How do you not... But how have you... What? Have you done...
I have the Simcast. That sputters for 5 solid minutes.
How am I sat in here with two supposed motorsport fans on the world's greatest motorsport radio platform, and you haven't seen Truth in 24?
Because I watch other racing.
Oh my god! Right, you need to watch Truth in 24. It's right. Okay, you know how Senna was in the movies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now for a docufilm, that was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know how Rush was in the cinemas?
Yeah.
And you know how that was... I'm sorry, there's two dogs out there who are going to get shot in a minute if they don't shut up.
Peter, if you want to send us messages, send them via Matt Hunter.
That gave him the point. Anyway. John
was in this movie?
I do not condone cruelty to animals, obviously.
Wait, okay. I had to look this movie up because genuinely I had never seen it before. And
what?
Hinoff was in this movie?
Yes.
How have I not seen this?
It's right. It's based around the LDLMP program when they're at the height. All the major people that you know from Lamar came into the public, like the wider public consciousness, because of that film. You have to watch Truth in 24. This isn't a request. You have to watch it. If you're a motorsport fan, this is not just for these two. If you're a motorsport fan listening to this show, you have to watch Truth in 24. I cannot emphasize enough how much you have to watch it. It is so bloody good. And it came before all these films. It came before Senna. It came before Williams. It came before Ferrari. It came before Rush and all these other ones. It's the quintessential docufilm for motorsport, in how it's presented, in how it's produced, in the visuals, everything. It's perfect. Anyway, the point I was trying to make was, apart from Senna, and I think the fact that it was Senna that kind of carried that film's success, because Senna transcends the sport that he participated in, in my opinion. So I think a lot of people who kind of have a passing interest in who the man was as opposed to the sport that he participated in would have gone to see that film. If you did a docu-film about GT Academy, which I think they kind of did, but I think it went out on like YouTube or something as it was happening. I think it was in maybe like 4 or 5 parts from memory.
Yeah, I've seen bits of it, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that would have had the same grab. Which is why they're going to go for, obviously, like you said, an inspired by filmic style, because I think they can use a bit of artistic license, willing suspension of disbelief and all this nonsense to sort of, I don't know, I mean, I don't know how they can make, unless the lad's house that his sim rig in catches fire and explodes or is stood on by Optimus Prime or something halfway through it. I don't really sort of know how you could...
Where did that come from?
That would be a hell of a crossover.
I don't really know, but I don't
sort of know how license for that.
I don't...
No, it's Sony, so it would have to be like Ratchet and Clank.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
Maybe
Venom will show up then.
Morbius. No, it's got to be Morbius.
Oh no,
Morbius. Morbius in a sim rig. It's at the start of the race. It's Morbin time.
Sony, if you're listening and you need some people to come on to help with the creative side and like penning the script, don't come to us.
No.
and you just know, don't you? They're gonna pick some absolute fitty to be the main character in it. When, let's face it, most sim races.
I was just gonna say it's gonna be Tom Holland. It's gonna be Tom Holland.
Oh my days, really? It won't be.
Well, the Andromeda movie wasn't that good, so they got to figure out other ways to use Tom.
I'm not going to blame him.
He's just been in Uncharted, which I need to watch as well.
Yeah, that's what he was in.
Yeah,
apparently it's terrible.
Is it?
It's not great from what I've heard.
I won't watch it then. Stick to being Spider-Man, Tom. Thank you very much.
Is there going to be Stare in a movie coming up?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Is it? He's playing Fred Astaire.
Apparently, yes.
He's a very good dancer.
I have heard that, and I've also seen him on Lip Sync Battle.
Everyone has seen that.
What you need to know.
Insanely good. Insanely good.
But yes, Gran Turismo will be releasing on the 11th of August, 2023. We already have a release date for a film.
I love that we have a release date for that, but we don't have a release date for the next sports of motorsport, but
how many times do you think they're going to use the same circuit but claim that it's actually different circuits like they did in Rush?
Well, I don't know if it's Sony and it's based on, you know, they've got all of the licenses for anything that they have with Gran Turismo the game, then theoretically they could use those there,
unless it's a different kind of license that you need to be able to.
I would
assume it's a different kind of license.
At least as it's Sony, you'll know that there'll be a lot of Japanese circuits using it.
But well, if they film it in Japan, then they've got their pick of all of them.
And the fact that Gran Turismo pretty much has the license for most of the Japanese circuits in existence. Yeah. keeps them their coveted licenses close to their chests.
All I'm going to say is that let's face it, this movie is going to get compared to Ford versus Ferrari or
another.
I don't remember what the international title was.
Le Mans 66.
Yeah.
Le Mans 66.
This movie is going to be compared to that because it's a racing movie. And that's the most recent racing movie that's come out.
And it will fail. No, it will fail.
Yeah.
Not, it will fail on that comparison.
It might be a good movie, but compared to that, like, that was an incredible movie.
That was, but.
The thing that I find, it's funny, isn't it? Because there's so many things that sim racing is very good. It can be very good, and it can be presented very well in a documentary style, mm-hmm. as we've seen, and many, many things. I mean, YouTubers and companies and stuff have done this, and they've done it very, very successfully, and it looks really, really good. I just don't think there are some things that don't transfer well to the big, like the big screen, because the big screen demands everything to be bigger. The script needs to be bigger. The acting needs to be bigger. Everything needs to be bigger. And I mean, no, I can't see it.
The best thing about sim racing, in my opinion, is that depending on what type of event you're doing, you're doing it with friends.
Yeah, 100%. Right?
Yeah. So, I understand that the concept behind this is to show, like, this once-in-a-lifetime chance to go from being a sim racer to a professional driver. And many people have done that. Many people have done that. I understand why that would be compelling as a movie, but in the same way, I believe it's going to get over-dramatized, and that the story is just going to get lost in the weeds, because much like we saw with I'll just use this as an example. Much like we saw with F1 Breaking Point, is that there's going to be one character that's just going to be the bad guy, and there are quotes around that, and the main character's interactions with the bad guy is going to get in the way with the main story.
Jordan? You're stunned into silence by your eloquence.
it does happen.
I'm just thinking, like, because we're not, like, with Breaking Point, we're not the audience for that, you know.
Same
with Drive to Survive. We're like, and all the other things that you can compare those things to. The idea of transcending the sport, be it as either a character like Senna was or a medium, whatever. If they're trying to use a different avenue to bring light to something that not a lot of people know about sim racing in this instance, you know, whilst it's still a very niche thing, even though it's getting bigger and bigger. So, you know, I can understand why they have to take some artistic license and make some things overly dramatized and, you know, have a big bad villain and all of that stuff. It's eye-rolly for us, understandably, because it is eye-rolly. But if that's the kind of thing that interests people who aren't quite in it, and then they see the story and they're like, oh, that's cool, I might have a look more into it, and then get into actual sim racing properly, and then the reality that comes with that, then that might not be such a bad thing. Because, like, with Breaking Point as an example, we hated it. It was quite well received by other people who weren't as big into F1 and stuff. Same with Drive to Survive, you know, not a lot of people were into F1 who watched and are now really into it because of Drive to Survive, and then go about, you know, learning everything.
Annoyingly, Mr. Groves has a point.
It's a sim racing movie. It might not be for people who know sim racing. It might be a means of getting more people in to sim racing.
Fair. Do you know what I think would actually be a really good, not a film, but you know how, like, we have we've got the MotoGP version of Drive to Survive. Obviously, we've got Drive to Survive as well. There's a WEC version now. I think Touring Car's dabbled in it, but it hasn't really sort of done it.
IndyCar's working on one.
Yeah, iSuperbiker and this and that. Do you know what I think would be a really good
version? Let's not talk about NASCARs.
No, please.
No. But every single second is basically a sponsor's advert with momentarily flash of a racing scene. A really good way of doing it would actually be to take like a red line, for instance, and literally like follow them for a couple of months and see like, and you get to kind of like feel part of the band and sort of like, you know, how they go about doing their racing and watch them in the races, see how they succeed, see how they fail. Red lines, they don't fail.
Are you pitching this, sorry, as a documentary style thing?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, if you had that as a film, no one would watch it.
Yeah. No. But that's not the point. But what I'm saying is, I actually think the documentary, that kind of style, would work so much better for sim racing for that reason.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Because that way you could appeal it to people who are in the sim racing space as well. You know, because like I just mentioned, like you see all the over dramatized stuff that's meant for the wider mass market, and the people who are already a fan of it don't like it. No. So yeah, as you say, having a documentary style and going more in depth and then appealing to the actual sim racer, yeah, I'd watch the hell out of that.
But I think it's a happier mix, because what you get is, and the MotoGP one's actually probably better because it's not as over dramatized at all. Is it appeals to new people, also because of the platform it's on Amazon if you want to watch it. So, you know, a wider audience has the opportunity to see it and to watch it if they want to sort of get an idea for what MotoGP is. But equally so, big fans of that, like me, get a lot out of it as well. I learned a lot from watching that series, more so than just watching the races, because you get all the behind-the-scenes stuff, you get to learn the characters more. And I genuinely think that would be the way to go, myself. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just a pokey little radio presenter. Should we talk about do you like you two like going fast, don't you?
I mean, yes,
occasionally.
How would you like to go really, really fast when your steering wheel's broken and you can only go in a straight line?
Matt, we've been over this. I actually enjoy drag racing. And it's not
running up and down the street in a dress is not the same thing.
And Matt's going to get us cancelled.
Hardly. Anyway. Well, only in certain parts of the South. Until you guys sort of pointed it out to me, I didn't realize that this game was going to be a thing. It looks amazing.
We've only known about this game for a couple of months, honestly. Because I definitely remember talking about it on the show with Lewis before, but we didn't know what the title was because they kind of left it up for the fans to decide. And so I think I made the joke about it's NHRA Racing McRace Face at one point, but
that's a better name, honestly.
the game now is official title. It's the NHRA Speed for All. It launches in the 26th of August. So we're about 2 months out from this. We're getting a fair amount of licensed contact in the way of the five main classes in the NHRA competition, which is Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock, Pro Mod, and Super Modified, which I can go into the weeds about the particulars about each of those, but we probably don't have that much time left in tonight's show. Yeah,
really quick ones to quick ones, but not so quick.
It's different
body shapes. Yeah, you got the traditional one, which
is a huge oversimplification, but yeah, pretty much. You have factory racers, and when you get to the pro mod stuff, which I'm interested to see how they handle that on a video game. But when you get to pro mod stuff, that's basically a lot of modified production cars. So we'll see how they handle that. But it's going to operate like your NASCAR 21 Ignitions or your F1 22s, where you have like your selection of real-world drivers and teams that you can choose from. There will be like an online leaderboard stuff. You'll see a bunch of local split screen stuff. There'll be multiplayer stuff. Apparently there's a fairly in-depth career that goes along with this. Because it's a modern game, you also have deluxe and ultimate editions that come with their own various different like exclusive content you can get from them. For instance, the deluxe edition includes a John Force racing pack, which puts you in control of the legendary racer John Force's team. The ultimate edition has that, plus Battle Ready pack, Moonshot pack, Electro Blizz pack, Nitro Fire pack. But we don't know what those involve yet. But yeah, this is one I'll actually kind of think about picking up. Because, you know, PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X/S. So I'll let you guys know how it is.
And then when it's cheap, I might buy it just for a laugh. But anyway, it's cheap. Awesome. I actually quite sort of kind of looking forward to that. And finally, in the last 5 minutes of the show, it is the Gaming Athlete Esports Roundup of the week. Mr. Jordan Groves, over to you.
Yes, head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Just one bit of Esports Roundup this week. It's eNASCAR, which returns from a 3-week break for round 10 of the 2022 championship. The series will be racing for the first time, at least in a regular season, at Nashville Super Speedway, with rookie driver Briar LaPrade taking his career first pole position in his home race. The race was plagued by cautions, which made a bit of a change because we've had a fair few fairly good green flag running races in the last few months, but nice for NASCAR to return to its roots. Mercifully, the race managed to settle into a green flag rhythm for a fair chunk of the duration, but the entire field would be completely thrown upside down by a caution during the pit stop cycle. All of these cautions, and then a whole load of cautions toward the end of the race, left Rayal Fala in the lead of the race for the green-white checkered restart, fending off fresher tire equipped Zach Novak behind him. But Alfala was able to just hold on to take his 27th career victory. He is the most successful driver in the NASCAR with 4 championships to his belt, after all. And it would be his first win of the season in the number 51 Gibbs Toyota, despite having started all the way from 37th in this race after not qualifying. That's what happens when you get pit stops in the middle of green flag pits, cautions in the middle of green flag pit stops, I should say. Novak would just miss out by a couple of car lengths to take second place in the number 5 Rise Esports car, with Blake Reynolds, Michael Guest, and Michael Conti rounding out the top 5. And the series, there's only 4 rounds left until the playoffs start, and the next stop will be, I believe, the first road course race of the season, round 11 at Road America on July 6th. And I just wanted to also give a quick mention, as the winner of that race, Rayal Fala, is actually going to be testing a late model this weekend, I believe. So it's rather good time. You know, nothing like riding the momentum of a win to go into a huge real-life test like that. So,
yeah.
Exciting.
It's also Alfala's win in, like, first win in, like, a year almost. I don't think he won at all last season.
He won last year at Richmond, yeah.
He did? Okay. Well, it's still been a long time, and when I started watching this series is when he was really dominant, so it's good to see him back on the top step.
Absolutely. He is a stalwart, shall we say.
Awesome. And that was the Esports Roundup of the week.
We still need a jingle.
We do, kind of, actually, yeah, because me doing it differently every week is really not acceptable.
And anything else is better than what Lewis does.
Lord.
Hashtag eat more tacos.
No!
And you've sullied our show.
I hadn't done that already.
You make apparently.
You make Jordan shuttles my show every week. What are you?
That's only because I don't know how to get out of this booth.
The Simcast. It's like the Hotel California.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Exactly. I've been Matt Hunter. Ben has been surprisingly eloquent on the subject of going straight very quickly. And Jordan is about to be shackled up back into his cupboard in time for the next show. Very good.
Shush.
Very good.
Hey, no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Remember my name!
The American Madness will continue next week. I will see you in another couple of weeks' time. Dear Lord, it's getting warm. Have a great week. We shall see you soon. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.